Let's pray. God, we are all gathered here, coming from different places this week. And Lord, we need to remember the cross. Jesus, we need to remember your death, what you did, what you accomplished at the cross. Please draw us near to yourself as we have this time of communion, the Lord's Supper, right now. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. As we celebrate the Lord's table this week, I first want to take a look at a picture of the depravity of man so that we can rightly see our own sin in light of the cross. So please follow along as I read in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 13. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive leaves and two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague so often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and will overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate. And they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up into heaven, into the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Verses 9 and 10 provide a very clear picture of the utter depravity of man. The people who dwell on the earth at this time have experienced all of the seal judgments from Revelation 6 through 8. They've experienced 6 out of 7 of the trumpet judgments from Revelation 8 and 9. They have experienced war, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, the earth, parts of the earth being burned up, trees, green grass being burned up, sea creatures dying, ships being destroyed, rivers and springs of water being made undrinkable. They've been chased by and stung by scorpions, stinging locusts for 5 months. And finally, they have had plagues that have killed 1/3 of mankind. At this point, we're talking about billions of people having been judged and killed. And if that weren't enough, there are these two supernaturally empowered witnesses of Christ that for 3.5 years have been causing drought, causing waters to turn into blood, and striking the earth with every plague so often as they desire. And for 3.5 years, they have been witnessing Christ. These people who dwell on the earth, these earth dwellers, they are very bitter about their circumstances. And they have two very clear present objects with which to focus their bitterness, these two witnesses. The earth dwellers, these people, they know they're experiencing the wrath of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. They know that. They know that they are being judged for their sin, and they know they're being called to repent. And they're refusing. And in verses 9 and 10, these earth dwellers, finally, they have relief. From their perspective, they've scored a great and total victory over these two witnesses that have been tormenting them for 3.5 years. And they've scored a tactical victory over God and his plan to judge them, from their perspective. They're experiencing something they haven't experienced for a long time. They're experiencing relief from this judgment for 3.5 days. And so they rejoice. They celebrate. They give gifts to one another over the death of God's instruments. They have this world-like festival, holiday, that continues and ends prematurely after 3.5 days. They are actively fighting against God and know that they are the enemies of his God. They know that they're under his judgment. And here, the creature is found celebrating a perceived victory over the creator. What rebellion! What utter depravity and hardness of heart. How hard does a heart have to be in this situation and to be celebrating like this against the creator? But we would never do that, right? Our hearts aren't that hard, right? Everybody knows, or many know, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And in Romans 6, we know that we are slaves to sin. We are slaves to sin. And outside of Christ, that's what we are. Hard hearts, desperately wicked, slaves of sin. And my heart and your hearts are just that wicked. Thanks be to God for the cross, where God the Father draws wicked rebels like you and like me. He draws them to himself, where God the Son absorbs the wrath for sinners. Wrath that we earned, he took on himself. And every sinner that repents and turns from their sin and turns to Christ, and turns to Christ in faith, will experience the forgiveness of sin and not the judgment that they rightly deserve. If you're here today and you would admit that you have not turned from your sin and turned to Christ, then we would ask you to simply just let the elements pass by. I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm thankful that you get to hear these things. But know this, it does not end well for the earth dwellers. It does not end well for those who have not placed their trust and faith in Christ. This victory here was only perceived. God has always been, he is, and will always be on the throne. He is going to judge all of mankind through his Son, Jesus. And you have an opportunity right now. You have an opportunity to turn from your sin, turn to Christ, and join us. Join us as we take this piece of bread and this cup as we remember his death and what he accomplished. If you're here today and you do profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you find that you're convicted of unrepentant sin, you find that you have a hard heart about some sin, let go of it. Forsake it, turn from it, and join us. Believers, as you take communion today, take a moment to remember the deep depravity of your own heart. A heart that if your unrestrained and unregenerate heart were in the same circumstances as these earth dwellers, you'd be doing the same thing. Then, more importantly, dwell on the Lamb, whose wrath you do not fear. because of his sacrifice at the cross that purchased you. And you receive undeserved grace. And you get to be with him forever. When the men have come forward and we're done taking the bread and the cup, take communion on your own, and I will come back and close this in prayer.